Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Amy.
As always, I'm Bianca. Who else would I be? We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast while we were all living la vida lockdown. But now we are free. Yes! So, we take aim at one topic each week, along with a bottle or three of wine or whatever the fuck we can find, and we try to make some sense of the bloody topic. So, ladies, what are we all drinking tonight?
Well, I'm carrying on from dinner and drinking cask beer.
Nice. Yeah.
I am continuing on from last week, although I finished the bottle last week. So, and I went and bought another bottle of this Nero Diavola that I like. And I have, it's okay, people. It's all right. Don't send me your sympathy. I ordered wine. It's coming next week. It's okay. It's okay.
Thank goodness. I was getting worried. Well, I'm drinking Land of Giants from the Marlborough region of New Zealand, and it is a Pinot Gris. Ooh. And it has, there will be a picture on the blog, as always. And if you don't know what that creature is, no, it is not an emu. It is a moa, yeah, which is a creature from long ago that is now extinct in New Zealand. And it was literally a giant flightless bird.
Yeah, it's like an ancient New Zealand emu, isn't it?
Yeah, very similar, except it was less feathery, more furry, because cold.
Right. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Cold.
It's cold. Yeah. Yeah. So, Sarah, what is our topic for tonight?
Stop. Emmy time. Hang on. Before we get into the topic tonight, I just want to jump in and have a bit of a quick chat about Buy Me a Coffee. We have signed up to the Buy Me a Coffee platform, which means that by donations made through the website, you can help support this podcast, which is what we need right now. Support us. You can find us on www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Or you can follow the links on our blog, which is FridayNightWineFight.blogspot.com, or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Where else are we? Tumblr. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can find all the links to support your favorite podcast at these places. Thank you very much. Amy out.
Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, our topic tonight.
So back rude. In your corner. Back
already in interrupted me. Get in your cage, Amy.
Despite all her rage, she's still just Amy in a cage. Yep.
Yeah. So tonight's topic is mythical creatures. Look, if you don't know what a mythical creature is, fucking hell. Get out and read a book, people.
Right?
Read a book.
Read a book. I love fantasy genres. So this is a bit of fun for me. So we all know what a mythical creature is. I will give people examples just in case you have been living under that proverbial rock. So vampires, werewolves, yetis, Bigfoot, mermaids, unicorns.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They're the ones everyone knows.
Oh, don't forget the Loch Ness Monster. I mean, and then you the Loch Ness bastard, Monster. 3 feet, and you never get rid of him.
He's true. Standing outside now looking at me like, dude.
God damn it, woman. Why'd you go give him 3 feet?
You're wondering what lives long. Anyway, a couple you may not have heard of, the Bunyip. An Australian Aboriginal myth said to live in swamps, billabongs, watering holes, and creeks. The name translates to devil or evil spirit, and is said, and it is described as a seal or dog-looking thing, creature. Then there is things like the manticore, a creature that was said to be unconquerable. I don't know if I just said that word right, but that's
well
how
done.
I
know what it meant.
You can't say phenomenon, but you got that right.
Yeah, I know.
Well done.
That's me. It was said to have the face of a man, the body of a lion, and the tail of a scorpion with porcupine-type spine.
Oh, wait, I'm just picturing.
So he's a pointy dealy.
Yeah, I'll put a picture of it in the blog, so you can all have a look. Cool. It also has been depicted with dragon-like wings. But not all depictions of it have these wings. So it depends on what you're looking at. Okay. The creature comes from the Persian legends.
Oh, yes. I love their legends.
Yeah. And is similar to that of the Egyptian Sphinx, which had the head of a man and the body of a lion.
Okay. That's cool. So, I'd never heard of a manticore, so I'm just like, wow, okay.
Oh, you've never heard of a manticore?
No.
Oh, well, that's what a manticore is.
I know.
Yeah.
Cool. Kind of quite ferocious.
Yeah.
So I, as I said earlier, I am a big fan of the fantasy genre, and I do enjoy, you know, the mystical sides of things, and I like mythology as well. So when this subject came up, I was, you know, kind of happy. Like, yeah. This is cool. And because of what I have been watching and the books that I have been currently reading, I have decided to do the Seder.
Oh, cool, cool. Okay.
So the Seder is Greek and it has an other pronunciation like a Seitoros. I don't know if that's true. It's just what I read. And I don't even know if I said that right. So, hey, don't quote me. So Seders are male nature spirits with... Again, autocorrect. With ears and tail of a horse.
Sorry, that was meant to be ears.
Yep, that was meant to be ears. Oh, God, I love it. So, yeah.
With ears and tails.
With ears and tails of a horse. And
yeah, you're either New Zealander or you're like Irish or something. With the ears. With the ears. The ears. You know, the ears.
Yep, and... Also, they have apparently a permanent exaggerated erection.
Yeah.
Right.
Because why not?
Yeah.
And actually, that was what I meant to write down. That's what I read.
Yeah.
That wasn't a fuck up.
No. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much of that last bit is actually true to the everything. No, I mean. It does sound weird.
No, because even Billy Connolly does a segment on it, right? Remember when he's talking about he loves watching Antiques Roadshow because he loves watching Toffs get fucked.
Yeah,
he's talking about, you know, they have the statue on the mantelpiece and has a dick like a fucking dinosaur, and yeah, it's probably a satyr. That's what pops in my mind whenever he starts that segment. I'm just like, I picture a satyr on the mantelpiece.
No, that's funny. Sometimes they would include horse-like legs. That kind of came in around the 6th century. More often with the human legs.
Yeah.
So they had mane-like hair with like a beast face and a snub nose. So they weren't too pretty, and they were always depicted as naked. So they dwelled in remote locations such as woodlands, mountains, and pastures. Like myself, they are lovers of wine, music, and dancing.
Yep, same.
But they also had a love for women.
Same.
Same.
Yeah.
And their other companion were Dionysus, god of wine and insanity.
Oh, I didn't know she was god of insanity as well.
Yeah, so he can screw with your head. It all fits in with the wine, really.
Okay.
Yeah, and he makes you kind of go crazy. Yeah. Screws with your head.
Cool.
He's your basic 20-year-old in a nightclub these days. That's what you've described to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So it is said that they often attempted to seduce or rape nymphs and mortal women, usually with little success.
Yeah, my stab by my comment.
Yeah, always chipping over those exaggerated penises of theirs.
Yeah.
Mine gets in the way all the time. You have no idea.
Yeah. So one satyr was said to have challenged the god Apollo to a music contest.
Oh.
Yep. Okay. Hey, challenge you to a dance-off.
Yeah. Your pants on, dance-off.
Yeah. So,
love that song.
But doing that... He ended up getting flailed alive.
Whoopsie.
So if you don't know what flailed is, people, it's pretty much skinned.
Yeah. Oh.
There was another one named, I don't even know how to say this. Selenus?
I was going to say Selenius.
Selenius? Could be it. Mm-hmm. That sounds more Greeky than the way I said it. He was said to have been the tutor of the young Dionysus. And there was a story from Bianca. Do you want to try to say that one?
Iona.
Yeah.
Iona.
Yeah.
See, I thought that, and then I went, no, I'm going to say it wrong, because I always say
that. Yeah.
Told of, how did you say the other one, but add the os at the end?
Millennial.
Who gave sound advice, but when captured.
Oh.
Same.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, so you have to capture him to get the sound advice. Otherwise, he's going to just give you shit advice.
It's definitely Amy.
I feel this.
Yeah. I trap Amy in this all the time. If I want sound truth, I get her very drunk.
Put me in the cage, mate. That's put probably her in the best cage. Way.
Yeah, exactly.
So I never got around to actually finishing my segment, to be honest, because, well, I was busy at work. But with satyrs, they're often mistaken because later on they went from being more horse-like to being more goat-like, like the Roman faun.
Oh, okay.
And then they started getting depicted with the goat legs to kind of coincide with the god Pan, the half-goat god of music and nature. So in the end, fauns and satyrs really became one in the same.
Yeah.
Whereas satyrs were all about, you know, fancying the women and the wine and all that. Fauns weren't so much about that. I can't remember if fauns were more into battle. A little bit more ferocious.
Yeah.
Although if you watch The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, Mr. Tumnus, he's very much just into his cups of tea and his books and wearing scarves.
Do you want to hear who my favourite satyr is?
Who's your favourite satyr?
Phil from Hercules. He's my favourite satyr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but then, you know, you got the one from Percy Jackson.
Still going with Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. Isn't he Pierce Brosnan or something?
No, he was a centaur.
Oh, right. Just putting it out there for our listeners. Guys, I have no idea about this stuff. Like, literally not a freaking clue. The first time I'd ever heard about a satyr was, in fact, just 30 seconds ago when Sarah explained it. Yeah, that's all I got. I'm really crap at this.
Watch The Lion,
the
Witch and the Wardrobe.
I may have seen it once.
Mr. Tumnus is in the whole fucking thing.
I know who he is, and I know who Phil is.
But you didn't know. Yeah, but you didn't know.
I didn't know they were satyrs. Yeah. No, I didn't know. Yeah.
Actually, Mr. Tumnus is a fawn, to be honest.
Yeah, because he's more grody. And the same with Phil. Like, he says, I'm a satyr, half goat, half human. Haven't you seen one before? So it's more the goatee. Yeah.
So they're more now, more depicted as being the goat instead of the original.
Well, I suppose it's a Disney cartoon. You couldn't have this chubby little Danny DeVito-looking character with a giant erection.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure the giant erection is out for all Disney films.
Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, they'll kill a character off, but don't show an erection. You know.
No. Yeah. No. They'll kill a cute little thing off in the most hideous way. But yeah. Oh,
yeah. They'll just
traumatize everyone. Thank you.
Well, I don't know if you have watched any recent Disney cartoons. Nothing dies ever. I'm waiting for it. Nothing dies.
Oh, Foxhound still kills me. Oh. Friends, let's be friends forever.
Don't, mate. You've gone down that hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then you got Brother Bear.
Yep.
Can't watch that for 2 seconds without fucking Black Cauldron.
Those two fucking moves. They're so good.
I could get through all the Disney movies that have made me cry because someone's died. It's terrible.
The Lion King?
Yes. I mean,
come on.
Yeah.
Bambi?
Yeah. Okay. So
Bianca, what do you got?
You're up.
Let's lift this back up again.
Yeah.
Come back from being so sad from Disney. Okay.
That's right, we'll edit it out.
And their lack of affections. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm so excited for this topic. Like, I'm covering the super cute little being called the jackalope. The jackalope is found in North America, largely in the Wyoming area, and it is a fearsome critter. It's described as a jackrabbit with antelope horns. The word jackalope is a portmanteau of jackrabbit and antelope. Despite actually being mostly found in the USA, they are also common to the alpine forest of Bavaria and Baden-Württemberg in southern Germany. They also don't call it a jackalope over there, like in Germany, because they're a different variant in Europe. So they're actually called a Wolpertinger. This variant has the head of a hare with fangs of the wolf, the body of a squirrel, the antlers of a deer, and the wings of a pheasant.
It sounds like a villager ate some shrooms again. That's what this sounds like. Stop eating the shrooms.
Oh, gosh. The picture I actually have there is from 1507, by the way. The variant, the regional spellings of the name include Wolpertinger, Wolpertingers, and Wolpertingers. They are part of a larger family of horned mammals that exist throughout Germanic regions of Europe, such as the Austrian Rorakel, which is nearly identical to the German Wolpertinger, but not quite. It doesn't have the fangs. The jackalope actually dates back to the 13th century, where a 13th century Persian artwork depicts a rabbit with a single horn, like a unicorn. Natural history texts, such as the History Book of Natural Quadrangles by John Johnston in the
17th century. Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Yeah. And that was in the 17th century. And illustrations such as Animalia Quadrupedia et Reptilia by Joris Hofnagel, which is from the 16th century, included the horned hare.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to circle back. The History Book of Natural Quadrangles.
Yes.
Who writes this shit?
John Johnston.
Like, oh, my God.
Right there.
I can't even, like, how many shrooms are these people on? Far out. Sorry, continue. I can't even.
I actually would like to find that book, to be honest. Like, I want to know what else is in there. Because, like, I mean, it was the 17th century. It'd be amazing. There'd be all sorts of, like, Cthulhu and shit. It'd be awesome.
It's a history book of natural quadrangles. Yeah. It is literally going to be the 17th century version of fucking TikTok. It'll just be full of bullshit someone came up with.
Yeah. But yeah. Unlike, not all of it's bullshit. I mean, the jackalope is real, obviously.
Obviously.
So that was his backstory. Aside from being so super cute, I have five, like, fun facts about the jackalope. So my first one, in 2005, I'm laughing already because it's so stupid, but it needs to be done. Anyway, the legislature, I can't even say it. Of Wyoming considered a bill to make the jackalope the state's official creature. It passed the House by 45-12 margin, but the session ended before the Senate could take up the bill. In 2013, following the death of the bill's sponsor, Dave Edwards, the state legislature. Yeah. Reintroduced the bill. It again passed the House, but died in the Rules Committee of the Senate. In 2015, three state representatives put forth the jackalope proposal again, this time as House Bill 66. And again, it passed the House, but died in the Senate committee. One of the co-sponsors, Dan Zwanitzer, said, "I'll keep bringing it back until it passes." And good on you, Zan. I am with you. If fucking Scotland, who's a whole country, can have the fucking unicorn as its state, as its animal, you can have the fucking jackalope. Just get on it. Get the jackalope as your state's animal. I'm all for it. Yeah.
If you are a member of the House of Representatives in Wyoming and this is the shit you spend your time doing instead of serving your people, stop it. Stop it now. I'm coming for you. This is insane.
Well, they should just pass the bill. This is our animal. Move on. It would just save so much time. Like, why are they fighting it?
Oh, my God. No.
Yeah.
Why are they spending time on it?
Why are they spending time on it? Just say, yep, that's our animal. Let's move on. Because nobody cares.
That was not where I was going with it. But yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, fact number two. Jackalopes are said to be so dangerous that hunters are advised to wear stovepipes on their legs to keep from being gouged. Yeah.
Honey, can you hand me my stovepipe pants? I'm going jackalope hunting.
Yep. Exactly. They need some sort of Ned Kelly get up. Like, just fucking, just metal everywhere.
Just tape it on. It'll be fine.
Yeah exactly. Third fact, stores in Douglas, Wyoming sell jackalope milk, but the New York Times questions its authenticity on the grounds that milking a jackalope is known to be fraught with risk. And
the fact that they're not real.
Excuse me. Shut up. Go away. Fact number four. One of the ways to catch a jackalope is to entice it with whiskey, the jackalope's beverage of choice. Such a discerning animal. I love it. And my last fact, fact number five. The jackalope can imitate human voice, and according to legend, because obviously cowboys can't write, they were known to be illiterate, so they couldn't write it down. During the days of the Old West, when cowboys gathered around the campfires, singing, eating beans, farting at night, jackalopes could be heard mimicking their voices or singing along. And they're usually singing as a tenor. So it's a bit of, you know, 84, yeah, you can hear it. Like, I can feel that would be amazing.
It's because the jackalope's out there by himself drinking his whiskey, and then they're playing tunes. And he's like, oh, I want to sing some tune. I'm going to hang out with these guys, but maybe just from here because I can't get up anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's in his hole. He's fuzzy tail deep, and he's happy. He's got his whiskey.
He's literally walking around the burrow like I was describing the other week, just trying to find his way out, and just went, oh, fuck it, I'll stay here now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I love the jackalope so much. They are so freaking adorable. I'm going to have to try and catch one. You know, when we do a USA trip, we're going to Wyoming. I mean, it's already on the map anyway. But while we're in Wyoming, I'm bringing a bottle of whiskey and we're camping trying to catch a jackalope. Although we need our stovepipes. We're going to have to go. I don't know if we should pack stove pants or whether we should just buy some when we get there.
I think we should just rustle some up when we get there. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Whiskey, we can get when we get there, and stove pants.
Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah.
I camping, and I think that jackalope's not real, but I'm in.
They are real. It dates back to the 30s. You weren't listening. That's all right. Despite all your age, you're still just a rat in the cage.
Definitely.
Maybe on to
all right. So,
give it your best shot, mate.
I don't know how much you've picked up along the lines of Amy doesn't get this, and I don't understand the point of mythical creatures. I just don't get it. It's a hard task for me to deal with all of this. Harry Potter is about as far as I go, and I don't even get that right if you've listened to previous episodes. So I get it very wrong. Anyway, so mythical creatures for me is very much an extension of the realm of fantasy, which I don't really do because I'm too logical and I ask too many questions and there's no answers. So I often get told to shut up and get back in the cage. So that is what I do when it comes to these things. Yeah. So I started researching this topic by doing what any good researcher does and just went, hey, Google. And just found whatever came out. I just went, okay, I'm going to look through these. So on my journey through the worlds of mythical creatures, I stumbled across a creature called the harpy.
Yeah.
And I found it very intriguing. What on earth is a harpy? Well, let me tell you.
Did you look in the mirror?
Yes. It quite literally is me. Yeah. Except these guys can fly. So,
yeah.
If I am going to be a harpy, like, where are my wings, bitch? Yeah. So, anyway, the harpy is one of the most recognizable of the monstrous creatures of Greek mythology. Although the imagery conjured up in the mind today may bear little resemblance to the original concept. So much like many of the creatures that we have already spoken about, basically it starts off as one thing and then ends up being something else. Yeah. Creative license amongst the ages. That's what happens. Anyway, so today, harpies are normally depicted as bird-like creatures with bird bodies and the heads of old women. However, if you go by the older tales of harpies, these were the creatures that were normally said to be beautiful winged women.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the very, very first lot of harpies. They were beautiful. They were not ugly.
Okay, yeah.
So how do they fit into Greek mythology? The harpies were generally considered to be the offspring of the river god. Help me. Is it Thamus? Thamus? Thomas?
Thamus? Yeah, I think you said it right the first time. I don't know.
Thamus? Don't know. And the Oceanid Electra. And therefore were sisters to the rainbow goddess Iris.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so then there was some debate historically about how many harpies there actually were.
Of course there were.
Yeah. Well, is it Hesiod? I think he was a Greek writer from memory. Would name two. Other sources would add a third sister. Now, this was really common in Greek mythology to have three sisters. So, yeah, like the same famous groupings of like the Fates and the Gorgons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was common to have three. So it didn't really make any sense that there was two. So when there was three harpies in the story, the sisters were named as, oh God, I'm going to go Occipete because that's what it looks like. O-C-Y-P-E-T-E. Yeah, I'm going with Occipete, yeah, known as the Swift Wing. Solano, I'm going to rename that one as Cilantro because that's called the Dark One and I don't like cilantro. So, yeah. And Alo, which is... which was interpreted as Storm Swift.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
So they pretty much had superhero names, basically. Yeah. And obviously there was two fairly good ones and then one that was probably going to be a villain in the end. So
yeah.
Anyway, so with their parents being water gods, it would make sense that harpies were regarded as water monsters, but they weren't. Harpies were regarded as hounds of Zeus and were responsible for a sudden disappearance of people from the face of the earth. Yeah.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah. Who knew? These harpies were also said to be the transporters of those destined for internal imprisonment in the, is it the TARDIS?
Tartarus. Tartarus. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's like TARDIS, the Tartars, but it's Tartarus.
Oh, right. Yeah, the TARDIS is something else. Anyway.
Yeah.
And we're responsible for the torturing of those individuals on their journey and upon their arrival to the underworld. This is what they're mostly known for, being torturers. So I'll quickly go through some famous stories which feature harpies. So there was Phineas and the Harpies. Phineas was a king in Greek mythology, and some say he was also the son of Poseidon. But I don't know. I don't really know much about Greek mythology. Phineas was blessed with the gift of prophecy, which was not well received at all. He would often run his mouth and tell his subjects way more detail than what they needed. Yeah.
Oh, it's me.
Really, really pissed off Zeus. Zeus was not happy about this. It's like, God damn it. Phineas is running his mouth again. Oh, far out. He's just told this one when she's going to die. God damn it. She needs to give birth to six more sons first. And now she's jumping off a cliff. Oh, great. There goes that plan. Yeah. So he was not okay. Yeah. He was a bit pissed off with that.
That's and so me, though. I'm just like, oh, I have gossip. Oh, I must tell people. I'm terrible.
I would have had too much wine and something would have popped in my head. And I was like, oh, we're going to run out of wine. Somebody do something about that. Yeah. Anyway, he really pissed off Zeus. So as punishment, he was made to sit in front of a feast every single day. But before he could eat anything, the food would be stolen by the harpies. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, look, I'm not saying that King Phineas was a bit weak, but I'm just like, bitch, you try and get in front of me and a meal. Like, just get in between me and a meal. I dare you. Dare you. Yeah. I don't think harpies are stopping me. Anyway, so the next story was the Harpies and the Argonauts. So everybody knows the stories of Jason and the Argonauts, very, very famous stories in Greek mythology. So this is actually like, it's almost like the second story of Phineas. So it continues on with the Argonauts. So basically what happens is Phineas's punishment continued for many years. But eventually the Argo arrived, which was the ship that had the Argonauts on it. Yeah. And it arrived on the shores near the feast table, and Jason and the other Argonauts disembarked, and Jason was in need of advice about how to navigate between clashing rocks, and Phineas, being a psychic basically, was the only one who could tell him how to continue. So the next time Phineas sat down to eat, two of the Argonauts, which was Zeus and Callias, took to the air. Now, Zeus and Callias were collectively known as Borids, and they were demigods, so they could fly and shit. Yeah. The Borads successfully drove off the harpies, although they were not harmed, as Iris, who's, if you remember before, that's like kind of like their sister. Yeah, she's a rainbow goddess. She'd already told Jason, look, you can chase off my bitch sisters, but you can't hurt them. Yeah.
Good.
She said, okay. No, look, they're bitches, but they're my sisters. So
same. Like, they're bitches, but don't hurt them.
Yeah, don't hurt them, but you can chase them off. That's fine. Anyway, so subsequently, the harpies would not return to torture Phineas again, and the king was able to aid Jason in his quest. So that's harpies, people. Reading about harpies was actually quite interesting, and I was drawn in by the fact that they just seem to be bitches with wings who like to torture people. And I was like, yep, I'm in. Sign me up. I'm in. Sounds like a good life.
Yeah. I mean, it comes in threes. So the three of us are in. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy being a harpy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with this. Many of the other tales that I did look up.
Be a harpy.
Why not? What's wrong with being a harpy?
I've read too much about them, and then, you know, with the Percy Jackson books that I've all read, they're not really pleasant, okay?
Neither are we. Who say
you are pleasant?
Like, I am fucking delightful.
You are. You're adorable. You're adorable, damn it.
Adorable, damn it.
Yep, you're a cunt. Bye.
Get back in your cage, bitch. I love that you both went with Greek, like Greek mythology. Because, I mean, I know a bit about Greek mythology. But, yeah, I actually learned stuff then in your segment, Amy. Like, that was cool. And it's Ares as well. Yeah.
No one learned shit except for my phone is terrible at dictating. But we already knew that.
Yes.
My phone's amazing at dictating.
But today it was just on point with its fuck ups.
Anyway, so as a part of this mythical creatures topic, we thought we would revisit a mythical creature of our own creation, which came about in previous episodes of this podcast. And just through some drunken rambling, I think it might have been, what was it, Weird Phobias / Darwin Awards / we came up with a fun little creature called the lizard duck. Yeah. And we're just going to tell you some fun facts about the lizard duck. Bianca.
Okay. So, fact number one, the lizard duck measures about 2 feet in height at full adult development. And the average weight is about 10 kilos at full growth, right? So, look, you don't have to worry about horse-sized lizard ducks to fight. It's okay. It's okay.
And you will fight them, trust me. You'll fight them.
The lizard duck can fly at heights of 30.8 kilometres, which is 100,000 feet for those playing at home in the US. They have been known to damage rockets, much like a wombat or a deer does to a car. Ooh. So if you can picture that, and like full government cover up, you know, a rocket, it didn't quite make it, crashed in the atmosphere. Ha ha. Like
the atmosphere. Yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. Government.
We're on to you. It was the lizard duck. We know. My other little fact about this beautiful creature is they are actually intersex. Kind of like, you know, those frogs who can change their sex. So the lizard duck has a male, a female, but because they can change, there's also the shim. Now, the shim is the most feared of the species. One actually murdered Sarah's parents, and that's why we now call her Batman. For a bit of backstory on that. Yeah. Not to bring it down too far, but
got dark real quick.
Yeah, it did. I know. But I thought that fact was prevalent. Like,
All right. So the lizard duck has, like a duck, it has multiple eyelids, right?
Yeah.
However, this is a little bit special because when it blinks in a certain way, it can actually see infrared, like the fucking predator. That is what it can see. Mm. You cannot hide. It can see you.
Yeah.
It eats both lizard and duck food, but has been known to hunt and consume medium-sized mammals like me.
Yeah.
It has a claw on each foot that can administer paralyzing venom. If it catches you, you're fucked. If it sees you, you're fucked. You're fucked. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah. It's much like the platypus in that way. Like, I think that's a bit of an evolution thing from the platypus. It just, like, grew that extra claw.
Mm. Yeah. In fact, the platypus is probably, like, a distant relative of the lizard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Well, yeah, possibly, it's like its bogan bush cousin or something.
Yeah.
That never got out of the water. Yeah. It just stayed there in its hometown.
The lizard, like, God, I don't even talk to that beaver motherfucker. Let's pretend he doesn't exist. Oh, don't look at me.
Don't look at him. Oh, God.
No. Oh, tough. God, now he's walking over.
Well, the lizard duck, when threatened, can shoot a stream of acid-like poop up to 100 feet at the speed of a gunshot from its bum.
Yep.
Oh, my God. It's going to acid me.
Yeah, like one of those dinosaurs from Jurassic Park. Yeah, it's scary. Yeah, you really got to be careful. Yeah, yeah.
But they can also change colour depending on their mood.
Yep, definitely.
It's a great way of determining if they're going to attack you or not.
Yeah, you've got to watch that. Right.
Watch the colours.
Can someone write that down for me? Thank you.
Yeah. So they also tend to migrate north in the winter, but only, now this is important, only if the first day of winter falls on a Tuesday.
Oh, yes. Because they forgot it wasn't Saturday. Yeah.
And they only go on their missions on Saturdays because, well, they've got to listen to a podcast on Friday nights so that they're getting ready for their, like, their migration.
Yeah. Yes. So, if it falls on a Tuesday, then they'll migrate.
Yeah. Oh, good facts there, guys.
Yeah, great facts, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tune in for more facts and
interesting things
as they come up.
Yeah, I actually would like to thank, and I told her I was going to thank her in this episode, my workmate, Maggie. So she actually suggested mythical creatures. Well, she didn't suggest that topic explicitly. She was like, have you done Bigfoot or Loch Ness Monster? And I was like, no. And I was like, mythical creatures, that'd be a great topic.
And guess what? We still haven't done Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. No, or any of the
I mentioned Bigfoot.
Listeners, you did mention it, but we didn't cover it.
We didn't cover it.
Or fairies. Fairies. Do you want it? What do you want us to cover? Would you like to hear about that? Hit us up, FridayNightWiFi@gmail.com. Or Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. Come at us.
Yeah.
Like a harpy on a mission.
Or Amy's run to the bottle shop. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yes. Oh, I mean, I had fun researching this topic, as with the other topics of the last few weeks. I have no idea where I was going with that because I already just did the bit. I've had too much to drink.
You just did that bit.
I know.
Well, I think it's time we say to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our utter rubbish. We hope you have found it entertaining and are not using any of the facts to make important life decisions. So we'd like to wish you all good night or good day, whatever the fucking time you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Good life.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.